Praise the Lord. Okay, we are done with the announcements. All right. I just feel that we want to do this, okay? We want to do this. Before we go into the word of the Lord, okay, I just want to invite all of us right now, just close your eyes and bow your heads, all right? Close your eyes and bow your heads. And I just want us, right, just to be very aware and be very conscious that the Lord of all creation is here. Be very aware and be very conscious that the Almighty God, the one true God, is here amongst us. And Father, we acknowledge, Lord, your presence here. We acknowledge, Lord, that we are here for you. We are not here for ourselves, Lord. We are here for you. And Lord, we are here to minister to you, not because we want something out of you, but because of all that you have already given us, all that you have already shown us. And so, Lord, even as we come before you right now, Lord, we pray, let all of our hearts, let all of our minds now be centered on you. Let all of our thoughts right now be centered on you. Let all the affections of our hearts be centered on you. And we ask, Holy Spirit, would you come? Come and speak to each of us this morning, this day. Come and bring your word, your personal word, for every single person in this place and for every person who is watching this online right now. Let your word, O Lord, be seated in our hearts. Let your word, Lord, be inscribed upon our hearts. Let your word be rooted, take root in our hearts, and let it bring forth your life. Let it bring forth your healing. Let it bring forth your transformation, Father. So, Lord, we give this time to you and we give ourselves to you. Come, be magnified and be exalted in our midst. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so we are on Mark chapter 14. Right, and we are coming to the end of the year. We are coming to the end of Mark as well. And this year, our theme has been on to walk by faith, right, and not by sight. All right. So Mark 14 has got quite a bit of things going on in there. Right, I won't be able to go through everything. Okay, in Mark chapter 14, you will see that there's the plot to kill Jesus. That there's Jesus being anointed by Mary in such a lavish way with perfume. We see the betrayal of Jesus by Judas. We see that Jesus had the Passover with his disciples, the Lord's Supper. Jesus foretells of Peter's denial. Jesus prays in Gethsemane, the betrayal and the arrest of Jesus. We talk about how Jesus stands before the council as well, and how Peter denied Jesus. How many of you have already read Mark 14? Yeah, okay. I want to encourage you, right, that every time, because we are on a book series, so we do know what's going to come up next every week, in a sense, do read ahead of time. Because when we read ahead of time, we have an idea on what the chapter is all about, but we also start to prepare our hearts and tune our hearts in. That when we come together in this place, we are ready to receive what the Lord has for us. Okay? So, now we are doing Mark 14. Next week, we are doing 15. All right? Now, in Mark 14 itself, I want to go straight right now into our passage for this morning. And I will only be talking or zooming in to verses 32 to 42. Okay, so would you now read with me, all right? Okay, let's go through together, Mark 14, 32 to 42. I'll read it. They went to a place called Gethsemane, and Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took Peter, James, and John along with him, and he began to be deeply distressed and troubled. "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death," he said to them. "Stay here and keep watch." Going a little further, he fell to the ground and he prayed, if possible, the hour might pass from him. "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will." Then he returned to his disciples and found them sleeping. "Simon," he said to Peter, "are you asleep? Couldn't you keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." Once more, he went away and he prayed the same thing. When he came back, he again found them sleeping because their eyes were heavy. They did not know what to say to him. Returning the third time, he said to them, "Are you still sleeping and resting? Enough, the hour has come. Look, the Son of Man is delivered into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Here comes my betrayer." I wonder how many of you have been in the army before, in the military before, or you might have watched some of the war films, you know, and you see the military commander at the front line with his men, and they're holding the line, and on the opposite is the enemy, right? And they are waiting for the golden hour. And while waiting for the golden hour, the military commander is telling his men and to psych them up, to rally them up, to muster up courage. And they were like, "Yes, we will go. Yes, let's take this. Let's take that hill," you know? And then when the golden hour comes, the military commander raises up the battle cry and he goes, "Charge!" And he gets up and he leaps across into the enemy line. And as he runs, he turns around and he sees none of his men. They were all still back in their positions and they had all chickened out. And this was what happened in that evening for Jesus with his disciples. They all chickened out. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You see, at this, what we will now call as the Last Supper, Jesus foretold that one of his closest disciples, one of the 12 of them, will betray him. Thereafter, he also foretold that all of his disciples will desert him. They will flee and they will run away from him when he, as their shepherd, is struck down. And then we have Simon Peter, who responded to that with overwhelming confidence. And he said that even if the rest do fall away, he will not. He will stand steadfast with Jesus. In fact, Peter even declared with boldness and said that he would rather die with Jesus than to disown him. And then Jesus foretold and he warned Peter that he will actually end up denying Jesus. Not once, but 3 times. And if you recall earlier in Mark chapter 10, we read of James and John who wanted to be seated on the right hand, on the left hand of Jesus as well, right? And they again confidently and boldly declared that yes, they are willing to drink the cup that Jesus was about to drink. And they are willing to enter into the same baptism of suffering that Jesus would be entering into. But we all know how it all eventually turned out. When Jesus was finally betrayed into the hands of his captors, all the disciples fled, including James and John. And Peter, too, he denied Jesus three times, as Jesus has foretold. All of them had a willing spirit, and they were all overwhelmingly confident of their faith. But when the crunch came, when their faith was put to the test, they all caved in. Their willing spirit could not overcome the overwhelming fear and the weakness of their flesh. Their spirit was willing, but their flesh was weak. Have we ever been in a situation, perhaps in our younger days in church, you know, in one of those events, a crusade or rally, and we declared with boldness and with confidence, and we say, "Yes, Lord, I will go where you want me to go. Yes, Lord, I will speak what you want me to speak. Lord, say the word, and I'm on it." And then, when the Lord finally tells us, "Okay, now, go." And then we go, "Huh? Really? Now? Now, now?" Or the Lord puts us in front of someone, and he prompts us, "Okay, now is the time to declare my name. Share the gospel with them." And then we go, "Lord, really? What if I say this, and what if I say that?" And we hesitate. Or the Lord tells us, "Okay, now is the time to leave your job. Now is the time to leave your comfort zone and go and serve him in a different place by faith." And then we try to squirm our way out and to reason with the Lord. "Lord, you know, you don't actually understand, you know. There's a lot at stake, you know, when you ask me to do something like that." The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So how? There is, however, one solution and one safeguard against this, and that is to watch and pray. In Mark chapter 14, verses 37 to 38, Jesus told Simon Peter how to deal with the weakness of the flesh and to keep himself from falling into temptation, that Peter will need to watch and pray. Watch and pray, lest you fall into temptation. What does it mean to be watchful? To be watchful means to be alert and to be discerning, not only in the physical, but more so to be spiritually vigilant. Be aware of what is happening to us, what is happening around us. Be aware of what God is bringing about and doing in this time. Be watchful means to be discerning of where is our heart leaning towards. Is our heart leaning towards God, or are we swaying towards the enticing temptations of the world? Are we swaying towards the direction of the world that's always constantly beckoning to us? Be watchful. What does it mean to be prayerful? We need to lean on God for grace and for strength. We need to ask God to help us keep us on track and to stay faithful to how he wants us to live and to stay faithful to what he has called us to do. And that was exactly what Jesus did in the Garden of Gethsemane that evening in Mark chapter 14. On that evening, after the Last Supper, Jesus was about to be betrayed into the hands of those who seek his life. He was about to enter into his passion, and he was overwhelmed with a sense of deadly sorrow and distress. Jesus, in the flesh, was in a moment of weakness and vulnerability. And so Jesus chose to go with his disciples into the garden to pray. Now, he could have, at like any other times earlier, gone away by himself to pray. But this time round, it was different. it was gravely distressing for him. And so Jesus called for the support of his disciples, especially Peter, James, and John, to keep watch while he turned to God the Father in prayer. I've heard of some very well-meaning Christians who say that, you know, perhaps we leaders or we men and women of God, we ought to always portray that we are strong. And we are not supposed to show our weaknesses and our vulnerability so that we will not stumble others. But yet here in Mark chapter 14, we see that Jesus himself, the Son of God, the Son of Man, in his fully human self and in his flesh, Jesus authentically expressed his deep distress and his sorrow. And he did not only express it to his disciples, but he expressed it also to all readers of the gospel through history, because it's written here in the Gospel of Mark. And indeed, if you were to look through scriptures, you will see that scriptures actually contain many examples of men and women of God who express their vulnerability and their moments of weakness. You will think of Moses, you will think of Job, Esther, you read the Psalms. So many Psalms of lament and cries of fear and terror. So in my opinion, there's actually nothing wrong for a leader of a man or woman of God to express their moments of vulnerability and weakness. You see, the more important thing that we need to talk about and to speak of is what did they do in that moment of weakness? What did they do in that moment of vulnerability? How did they turn to God in prayer? How did they call out unto Him? How did they trust God to strengthen, to empower, and to deliver them from their moment of weakness? And that is the very point that God wants us to see through these examples that we have in the Bible, in Scriptures. Because Scriptures are meant to point us to God. And our testimonies are meant to point others to God as well. You got it? Yeah? So don't be afraid to share within your communities and within your powerhouse groups your moments of weakness and vulnerability. But don't just stop there. Go the next step. Pray. Turn to God. And so here, in this moment when Jesus was vulnerable, when he was distressed and sorrowful, he turned to God the Father in prayer. What about us? In our times of deep trouble and distress, when darkness seems to surround us, when we come under pressure from people, or we come under pressure from circumstances that tempts us to compromise on our godly values, that tempts us perhaps to give up on what God has called us to do, perhaps even to give up on our Christian faith, what would we do in that moment? Will we also turn to God in prayer and call out to Him? Will we also call for people to stand alongside with us and pray with us? Or would we rather rely on ourselves instead of praying and turning to God? Maybe we skip the prayer part. Maybe we start looking for quick fixes, start looking for shortcuts, looking for ways to compromise. Or would we actually just simply drop and run away? What would we do in that moment of deep distress? The prayer of faith and submission. The dread and the burden that Jesus was experiencing must have been truly overwhelming, because he actually walked and he fell to the ground in prayer and he called out to his Father. And this was how Jesus prayed in Mark 14, 36. He said, "Abba, Father," he said, "everything is possible for you. Take this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will. I'd like us to just pay attention to how he prayed as an example for ourselves. He starts off by saying, Abba, Father. Now, Abba in Aramaic means Father. When Jesus calls his Father Abba, it was a deeply intimate way of addressing God as not only his heavenly Father, but his personal Father. And did you know that when you believe in Jesus and when you follow him as your Lord, that you too have a heavenly Father that you can truly call and experience as your personal Abba Father? Did you know that? I know that some of us might not have a great or positive experience growing up with our biological fathers, and we may struggle to actually see how good can our Heavenly Father be. But brothers and sisters, our Heavenly Father is not like our earthly fathers. From the Bible, if you read the Old Testament, you will see how God fathered the nation of Israel from infancy. If you read the New Testament, you see the exact representation of the Heavenly Father in and through Jesus, who lived here in the flesh. And not only that, but did you know that when we commune and when we walk with God, when we cultivate our relationship with God, He will actually enable us to tangibly experience His fatherly love. We will be able to tangibly experience His fatherly presence. And that's through His Spirit who lives within us. And this is the privilege and the blessing of being a child of God. And this is the kind of loving, tangible Father-child relationship that our Heavenly Father wants to have with us. So as His child, always remember and know that you have a Heavenly Father whom you can turn to and you can call out to Him. And our Father is good. He is loving. And He is near us. Everything is possible for you. Did you also know that your Heavenly Father is the Almighty and the All-Powerful God? He is the one who calls things that do not exist into existence. He created the heavens and the earth out of nothing. And He is the one who holds all the sun and the moon and the stars in their place, simply by the power of His Word. Did you know that your Heavenly Father is also the sovereign God who is eternal? He lives outside of time, and yet He encompasses time. He's the Alpha and He's the Omega, the beginning and the end. He's the one who knows every one of you and called every one of us by name. And all of our days are written in His book. Jesus knows that everything is possible with God. Do we also know for ourselves that everything is possible with God? Take this cup from me. Now, in His moment of deep distress and sorrow, Jesus expressed what He truly felt and what He honestly wished for, that God would spare Him from the cup of suffering, that God would spare Him from the impending stripes that He was about to bear on His back, that He would be spared from the cross that He has to bear and that He has to be nailed to, the weight of the sins of the world upon Him, and the painful separation that He has never, ever experienced before, which He was about to experience, a painful separation from His Father because of our sins. Jesus was honest with the Father in prayer. And do you know that you too can be honest with your Heavenly Father in prayer and that He will not hold it against you? You can tell Him exactly how you feel, exactly the things that are in your heart. Yet, not what I will, but what you will. Here comes the clincher. Here Jesus shows us the defining act of faith, one that is of complete submission to God, giving preference to God's will over his own will. We know that Jesus knew God intimately as his Father. Jesus knew that his Father was the Almighty, all-powerful one who is able to do all things. And Jesus knew that he can be honest with his Father and his Father hears him. But yet, Jesus made the conscious and the deliberate choice to defer and to set aside his personal desire and his will and to submit himself to the will of his Father. He chose to place his Father's will above his own will. And it wasn't out of fear, it wasn't out of doubt, but it was out of love. Yet not what I will, not what I want, but what you will, what you want, Father. Now you might have heard of some Christians who teach that when we pray in faith, especially in the area of healing and in financial breakthroughs, we need to claim God's word, we need to hold on to His word as a demonstration of our faith. And if we say something, if we pray like, not my will, but your will be done, that it will just show a lack of faith in God and that we are just being wishy-washy about it. Yes, it is true. We should have faith in the faithfulness and in the goodness of our God. We should have faith that He is willing and that He's able and He has the power to heal and to deliver a breakthrough. That is not the issue at hand. The issue is when we assume and we presume that God must heal or that He must give us a breakthrough in our specific situation at that point in time. We presume that what we want is what God wants for us at that point in time. And then we try to hold Him ransom to His word for the sake of what we want, our will in that situation. But brothers and sisters, when we willingly choose to defer and to submit our will to the will of God, it is not a wishy-washy faith. Rather, it is a demonstration of a humble and yet a higher level of faith in God Himself. That we are trusting that He knows what is best for us and when is best for us. That we do not presume to know what is His perfect will for us in that moment. And that we actually will want only what He wants because we love Him and we trust Him. It's a higher level of faith. Trust in God. And furthermore, we see that when Jesus prayed, "Not my will, but your will," He was in fact praying in the manner and in the posture that He taught His disciples how to pray in Matthew chapter 6, verse 10, where He says, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So even though Jesus knew that God the Father could well deliver Him from that moment, He chose instead to place His Father's will above what His flesh would have wanted in that moment. For those of us who are children of God, are we also willing to put God's will above our will? Are we willing to humbly submit ourselves to God in love and to pray, "Yet not what I will, but what you will, Father." And here I'll give a small note on the walk of faith and submission. You see, Jesus not only prayed the prayer of faith and submission, he acted and he walked in faith and submission to the will of his Father. And despite the rejection, despite the dangers, the threats, and the plots that were on his life, Jesus continued to preach and to teach wherever he went, even right into the temple itself, where the Jewish leaders were congregating and conspiring against him. Despite knowing the pretense and the falsehood of men, despite knowing that many would eventually walk away from him and even call for his crucifixion, Jesus continued to minister to all who came to him. He fed them, he healed them, he loved them as part of revealing the Father and revealing the gospel of the kingdom of God. And despite knowing that Judas Iscariot will finally walk away and betray him, Jesus still chose him as one of his 12, and he loved him to the end, and perhaps even washed his feet. The question is then for us, is apart from praying, are we also walking forward in faith and submission to what God has called us to be and what God has called us to do? If we know that following God's will and the call of God will lead us inevitably to challenges and to trials that will test our faith, will we still be willing to walk in faith and submission to his will? I can tell you personally that when God called me and my family to move from Singapore over here to Perth, I knew in my heart that it will be a very challenging walk for us. It will be one that will really stretch and test our faith. And in fact, I don't know how we will be able to make it. But will we still be willing to say, Lord, not what I will, but what you will? And we walk in faith and submission still. And I want to challenge you and encourage you, do it. Do it. Because our Heavenly Father never fails us. Never. We are a living testimony. You want to find out more, we're happy to share with you more on a different time. But do it. We are now living in a perilous and dark times. Not to sound morbid, but temptations and darkness will increase. Trials and challenges to our faith will increase significantly. Whether we like it or not, our faith will be tested. That's for sure. So we must learn from the example of the disciples not to be overly confident of ourselves, not to think that we are infallible or that we are invincible. Now, though we may be a new creation in Christ, though we may have the Spirit of God living within us, sanctifying us, empowering us to live a new life in Christ, we must remember, though, that we are still living in the flesh, and our flesh is still vulnerable to temptations, still vulnerable to falling away. Therefore, we need to be watchful and to pray. It is also true that the sovereign God will hold and he will keep us in his hand. It is true that he will not let us be tempted beyond what we can bear, that he will provide a way of escape from us. But brothers and sisters, it is our responsibility to make every effort to walk and to stay close to God. It is our responsibility to be discerning of the temptations that are around us. It is our responsibility to resist the devil and to submit ourselves to God. it is also our responsibility to walk in the way of escape that God has given us. So, in other words, it is our responsibility to be watchful, to be spiritually awake and discerning. It's our responsibility to be prayerful. And this responsibility is something that God will not absolve us from. It is our responsibility. So let us then not be in a state of spiritual slumber, where we are sleeping instead of praying, where the eyes of our hearts have become so heavy that we are no longer spiritually discerning or sensitive to what God is doing and bringing about in this time. Let us not be spiritually sleeping, that we no longer have an appetite for the Word or the things of God, where we have become so entangled with the love of the world, the cares of this world, that our love for God and our love for one another has grown cold. Even though on the outside, it looks as if we are still busy doing church work. We can be very busy doing church work, but our love has grown cold. Let us not be spiritually in slumber. Let us also learn from the example of Judas Iscariot. You see, the disciples probably did not expect that Judas, who had been with Jesus, and he had witnessed the miracles, and he had participated in the Spirit ministry, would turn out to be the one to betray Jesus. The one whom Jesus said that it would have been better if he had not been born. Perhaps Judas was himself in delusion about following Jesus. That when he saw and he realized that the Jesus that he was following did not turn out to be the Jesus of his mind, or did not turn out to be the Messiah that he wanted for himself, Judas then chose the path of his own will instead of the will of God. And you know, there are Christians today, like Judas, who call themselves followers of Jesus, but in fact, they are following Jesus for the sake of their own will, their own desires, their own gains, and not following His will. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, that not everyone who calls Him Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only the one who does the will of His Father in heaven. His will, not our will. And we saw earlier this year, as we did the book of Hebrews, the author of Hebrews also warned the Christians not to be stagnant in their faith, not to be complacent in their faith. But he exhorted them to be watchful, that they do not backslide or fall away from their faith. We too need to be watchful and prayerful. It's only when we are spiritually watchful and prayerful that we are able to discern by the Spirit the true condition and the motivations of our heart. But I also want to encourage you that if we are doing our best to follow Christ faithfully, if we are doing our best to be watchful and to be prayerful, then we can be assured, we can have the confidence that though we may fall at times, our Sovereign Lord, He sees and He knows our hearts, and He knows that we are trying our best. And just as how God extended His compassion and His grace and His mercy to the disciples who ran away and who denied knowing Christ, just as how He restored all of them, including Simon Peter, into His presence. He poured out His Spirit upon them, And he empowered them to fulfill their respective calls and their missions to the very end. We too can have that confidence that God, our Heavenly Father, the Sovereign One, will do the very same for us as well. For those of us who are genuinely trying our best to follow Him. That is our confidence. So, brothers and sisters, always be sober-minded. Remember that for as long as we are in the flesh, our spirit may be willing, but our flesh is still weak, and we will still be vulnerable to temptations, to falling away. But as we remain watchfully, spiritually awake, discerning, and prayerful, as we do our best to live in submission to His will and not our will, then Jesus will most assuredly be faithful to keep us in His name, to keep us in His love, and to keep us blameless till we accomplish His purpose for us in this world, or till He returns. Amen? I'd like to ask us this morning, and this, brothers and sisters, I know it's a bit of a sobering message, but it was sobering first for me. Because we all of us, I'm sure, want to be found faithful. All of us want to be able to stand before our Lord on that day and be found faithful, right? So this is the grace of the Lord, where He brings us and He shows us His word, and He helps us to align ourselves or to realign ourselves to Him. So I want to invite you right now to just reflect on your own walk with the Lord right now. How are we doing in our faith walk with Jesus today? How are we doing in our faith walk with Jesus today? How are you doing? Are we being spiritually vigilant of the temptations that are in our lives? Are we aware of the temptations happening around us, the temptations that we face in our hearts? Are we spiritually awake? Can we discern what is God doing in our lives and what is He doing even in the world today? Are we always in a posture of prayer? If we cannot be a follower of Christ and we cannot be a child of God if we are not in constant communion with Him, right? It does not make sense. The child must always be in constant communion with the parent. Correct? And for those of us who have been Christians a long time, can we say that we are living more and more in faith and in submission to His will? Or are we still living according to our will? Our preferences. This is what we want. Now, these questions, I want to encourage you now to just bow your heads and respond to the Lord in these questions. Because this is between you and Him. Where you are seated right now is your altar with Him. You are standing and you're at the altar before the Lord because He is here. So would you just be honest with Him? Lord, this is where I am in my faith walk. Lord, help me to be vigilant of the temptations around me. Lord, help me to see what is happening around me. What's happening in my life? What are You about to bring about? Help my heart to be sensitive to your voice, to be sensitive to your spirit. How are we doing in our prayer life? Are we giving Him time and communing with Him? This is your time. You say, Lord, would you please help me to always be in a posture of prayer? Help me to taste the delight and the experience, the joy of just being in communion with you, of just being in your presence. Help me to tangibly experience you as my Heavenly Father. Are we living in faith and in submission to His will? Perhaps we might need to say, Lord, forgive me, because I've oftentimes lived more according to my will, to what I want, my plans, my directions, my hopes. Lord, help me to submit more and more to you, and to know the joy that comes with the submission. Let's pray. Lord, we ask, O Father, that you will do this work within us, this work of grace, Lord, within us. Lord, you see each of our hearts, you heard each of our responses, you heard all of our responses. Lord, I pray, Father, that you would help us, O Father, in all these areas that we have prayed. Lord, we pray that you will help us to discover you more as our Heavenly Father, to encounter you more as our Heavenly Father. Help us, Lord, to walk closely with you. Help us to walk wholeheartedly with you. Help us to walk in closeness of fellowship and in joy, with joy. Lord, we pray that you will let our hearts be sensitive, our eyes be open, to be spiritually vigilant, and to be aware of the temptations that are around us. Help us to be able to see and discern what is it that you are doing in our lives, what you are about to do in our lives, what you are calling us to do, Lord. Lord, help us to be reflective and to be discerning of the leaning of our hearts. That, Lord, that we will keep us, Lord, from being overly confident, and help us not to be complacent. But Lord, help us to always be in a posture of prayer, that we would delight to be in your presence, that we would delight, O Lord, in being in communion with you. Lord, not only on Sundays, not only once a day, but in our daily activities, in everything that we work, in all of our routine and our life, that we will walk with you in your presence. Help us, Lord, to grow deeper in our faith and to be more rooted and assured of your love for us, so that, Lord, that we may be able to surrender and give more of ourselves, our lives to you in submission. Lord, we always want to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness. Help us to do that. And help us to place your will above our wills. Lord, we pray that you will give every one of us here, Lord, the experience of living in the joy of our salvation. Keep us in your name and keep us in your love and keep us holy and blameless till you return. We pray also, Lord, for the salvation of our loved ones. Lord, you know all, Lord, who are in our family and in our household, who have yet to know you and call you as Lord and as Savior. Lord, we ask and pray that in your grace and your mercy, that you will touch them and pour out your love, Lord, into their hearts. That you will open their eyes that they may see your glory and they may see the person of Christ. Lord, that you remove every obstacle that's in the way that's preventing them from receiving from you, O Lord. Lord, we ask that in your grace and mercy, we know you, your will is that none should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Lord, let your salvation come, Lord, upon all of our loved ones and family members, we pray. And Lord, we look forward to that day that we as a family and a household will be able to stand, Lord, as one before you to hear you say to us, good, well done, good and faithful servant. We thank you that you hear us, and we thank you again for this time. We bless you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Shall we stand and shall we respond to the Lord with this song?